This month, as we've said a couple times, we're talking about walking in wisdom. Walking in wisdom. Today, the assignment given to me was to talk about digital diligence, specifically the area of approval, the issue of approval. And if you go Google online about the social media and approval, you'll see it just everywhere. And we're not just talking among Christians. The world recognizes this issue as a problem on the internet, that people have made their lives about approval. Social media is the modern playground, and I might even argue the modern temple for approval junkies. It's a playground that has the added enticement of monetizing approval. The more approval you get, you can even make money on it, right? If you deliver what people like, what people will follow, what people will share, and what people will comment on, you can get money for winning and maintaining an elevated level of interest and approval of your audience. It's addictive. It's addictive. The dopamine receptors in your brain give little shots of dopamine when you go back on and those numbers are going up. It's fact. Right. And that dopamine is addictive. And we go back and we go back and we go back. And if we don't get the approval we desire, if we get pushback from someone and negativity will whittle down our social media community until we have an echo chamber of approval, right? Social media is obviously not the only place that we crave approval. Approval junkies live everywhere, right? Approval junkies abound at work, at home, in friend groups, at parties, churches, and even pulpits. One author, Boyd Bailey, says it this way, "I struggle with needing the approval of people. These questions assault my identity. Do they accept me? Do they trust me? Do they believe in me? Am I good enough for them? How can I make them feel good or happy? Do they respect and value me?" Worldly approval seeks to gain affection or avoid resentment at the expense of my identity in Christ. Approval in itself is not bad, he says. Wise children want their parents' approval. It's respectful and job security for an employee to seek the approval of his or her boss. It's healthy to win the approval of friends and family members you love and who love you. But approval becomes ugly when it defines who you are. Unrestrained accommodation leads to idolatry. To be clear, approval or validation itself is not the problem. It's when we crave this approval, when we crave that validation, that it becomes dangerous. Jesus himself grew in favor with God and man. That, right? That's people saying, yes, that's good. He lived in a manner that was favorable and as a child demonstrated the right behavior, the maturity and attitude for a child of his age, right? You should work not to please men, but your work ethic and your character should certainly earn the approval of your boss, I would hope, if they're a good boss. Children, you should work in such a way that your teacher approves of your work. Honest, diligent, respectful, following instruction. But think about how easily that can change if your goal is just their approval. Now, you might short-circuit the route. You might short-circuit and say, well, if I could cheat, I can get good grades. And then I will have their approval. You see the difference? One is saying, I'm going to live the right way, and by that I should gain the approval of good people. But instead of doing that, we short-circuit it in many different ways to find approval. We become approval junkies, right? When we crave approval, whether it's on the temple of social media or in the just regular pattern of our lives, we sacrifice time to this idol. We may offer the sacrifice of truth about who we are, about what we like and what we believe in order to gain approval. On social media, you know, you can create an alternate reality to what your life really is, or at least a limited reality to what your life is in order to get likes, follows, shares, and comments. We ultimately sacrifice ourselves. We sacrifice our identity, right? And who we are in Christ to gain the approval that we so idolize from the audience that we seek to please. Ed Welch, a well-known writer and counselor, says it this way, when you think of it, idolatry is the age-old strategy of the human heart. The objects of worship may change over time, but the heart stays the same. And one of those areas of idolatry is approval. And when it is, when it's an idol for us, it often leads to conformity. We shape ourselves to become like who we think people will like us to be. Right? You ever done that? You don't have to necessarily respond out loud, but I bet a lot of us have. We've adapted, we've conformed to become something different. Now, in some ways that might be good. Like if you're a liar and a cheat, you might be helpful to make some transformation. We would prefer that it be a heart transformation and not just a conformity. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is all about. Not being conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But there is benefit to there being salt and light in the community that then leads others to say, oh, my behavior isn't appropriate. I can gain approval. That's okay, but that's not the ultimate goal. We find that when we conform to the approval of others, that bad things can happen. Think about Solomon. Solomon sacrificed his walk with God for his 700 wives and 300 concubines. Saul sacrificed his kingly line to appease the people through the giving of offering to God that he had no right to give. And in John 5, where Chairman Steve read to us this morning in John chapter 5, verses 39 through 44, we find that some of the religious leaders of that day would not believe primarily because they were concerned about the glory or approval of other leaders. Let's go back there. John 5, 39 through 44. It says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they who bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him." And then listen to this. This is sort of the point of this passage. "How can you believe when you receive glory or think approval or validation from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from God?" They had made a huge problem out of this for themselves because they were trapped. They were so concerned what the other religious leaders might say or do if they got out of line that they couldn't possibly, they couldn't allow themselves to believe that Jesus was really who he said he was, even though it was staring them right in the face. They had read the scriptures. They saw him. They heard him. They observed his miracles. And yet they could not believe because, no, I need the glory. I need the validation. I need the approval of these men because that's my money. That's my position. That's my power. That's my family's reputation. Right? They'd rather have approval. The sad thing is, this unhealthy craving is an insatiable earthly appetite. Craving approval is an insatiable earthly appetite. You can't possibly get enough. When even that slows down, the big blue, what we call the blue check marks on Twitter, they freak out if they start losing followers, right? It's like, oh no, my sky is falling. That's the approval junkie. Craving approval is an insatiable earthly appetite. John, the verse 44 there again says, "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another? You do not seek the glory that comes from God." They couldn't get enough of each other. They had their whole system built around this. They were earthly glory hounds, but they had zero appetite for the approval of God himself. Craving approval, in the end, creates a god. It creates a god out of this earthly appetite, which leads us to make choices and to make daily food out of approval of others. And this is true not just of approval. You can really here think in terms of just idols in general. This morning, we happen to be talking about the idol of approval. But it's true of all idols. They create an appetite within us for something we so desperately want and must have that it takes away our thought and hunger after righteousness and after God. In Philippians 3, it says it this way, "For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." Well, how did they get there, Paul? What led them to this point, Brother Paul? Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly or their appetite. And they glory in their shame with their mindset on earthly things. Nothing is more earthbound than the approval of man. It is just right here. And you're hearing about this from an approval junkie from way back. I am a people pleaser, and it got me in trouble in high school. It led me to do stupid things through the years, and it is just part of the battle I face. Are there any others who will say, yeah, I struggle with that? Yeah, there's some. Others of you say, No, I don't. I just tell it like it is. I don't care what other people think. Anyone? You don't care about what anyone thinks. That's interesting. We'll see, right? But the sad fact is that earthly appetites are truly never fulfilled. We gorge ourselves on approval, but that only creates a hunger for more. You rarely hear someone say, man, I have a big enough following. Please don't follow me on Twitter anymore. Don't follow us on Instagram. No, at the bottom of every email, everything, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on, right? We want more and more followers. Now, be clear. There's a difference between marketing a brand to try to get followers. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about individuals, right, who are hung up and feeding on this, on craving on this. And folks, you know, it's not about for us here today to stand here and say, well, this is you. No, it's for you to do business between the Lord God and yourself on, is this a struggle for you? And we'll talk then about what does that look like? How do we deal with it? The sad thing is that earthly appetites feed on shameful things. They can lead us to do things and say things and be things that we never thought we would be or do or say. Earthly appetites are short-sighted. With a mindset on earthly things, the appetite for approval obscures any vision of heaven. Heaven can wait. Right? Right now, I need friends. I need likes. I need affirmation. I need validation. I need my approval fix. And so when we think of Philippians 3, it talks about their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with mindset on earthly things. That's the path. And if you see yourself along that path, it's time to step up and take stock. We'll talk more about how then do we respond, but it's certainly right now as you begin to hear this in your mind, it ought to go, you know, it's a struggle for me. That's a struggle for me. But here's a warning. Listen to Romans chapter 8. If we live according to our flesh, if we live according to those appetites, and we let those appetites be the God in our life, that we sacrifice our time and our attention and our talents and everything too. Here's what Romans 8, 5 through 8 says. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, let's be impeccably clear. You cannot earn the approval of God. You hear that? You cannot earn the approval of God. You cannot buy the approval of God. You, no matter what you know, what you do, what you give, or what you say, you cannot accumulate one more nanogram of God's approval than you received if you've already come to faith in Jesus Christ. That day, that moment when you came to Christ, you were fully approved unto God in the sense of eternal approval. You either have God's approval through Christ or you live as an enemy of God. You live on a pathway headed towards death. No matter how kind, how nice, how generous, or church attending you are. Each of us is born dead in our trespasses and sins. We don't have the capacity whereby to gain God's approval. We do not have a hunger for God's approval when we're born. We hunger for sin and we practice sin, according to Ephesians chapter 2. We are dead in our sin. We have not the capacity for righteousness. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one can boast." God's acceptance and approval of you is 100% bought and paid for by the precious blood and life and death of Jesus Christ. He measured up. Jesus measured up because we could not and would not and cannot. His righteousness and death in our place are graciously credited to our accounts, to every man, woman, boy, and girl who comes to God in repentance, relying in faith alone upon God's grace. That person is immediately and fully and completely accepted by God and can never be more accepted by God than they were at that point of salvation. So you're like, okay, well, good. I did that, so I'm done. I'm out of here. I don't need you anymore, right? Here's the thing. We can walk in a manner that's pleasing to God. And the difference is this. You don't earn more of God's approval. You don't get a better standing with God. But you live in a way that honors the God who saved you. And that pleases Him. He's like, okay, I've prescribed a beautiful way to live. And when we live in that way, it's pleasing to Him. Does He say, oh, That Laura Schultz, she gets an extra check mark today. I noted that she gave something in the offering box. Oh, yeah. No, that's not what it is. He's like, oh, that lady is living by faith in me. She's trusting me. And she's honoring me with her trust and her hope. She's putting her hope and affections not on the money, but she's trusting me and saying, no, that money's yours, Lord. I trust you for tomorrow. And He is honored. He is pleased by that. Right? She didn't earn any merit. Nothing went into her spiritual account because of that. Everything that you and I need is in our spiritual account, placed there by Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So we can walk in a manner pleasing to God. If we love Him, we will seek to live in this manner, approved unto God. I love how 2 Timothy 2, 2 and 4 says this. It says, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." We have a mission to do. We have a life to live. And we make it our aim to please Him, right? And to not get hung up with the stuff of this world, the earthly pursuits. And so when we get hung up on things like approval, we're getting our eyes off track. And we're going to find out that has some real consequences down the road. The struggle in this life is the constant samples of the earthly temptations, and they taste so good in the moment. It feels good. Just say it. It feels good when you put a picture out there of something you did or whatever, and people are like, and you see those numbers going up, and you're like, oh, man, I must really be something. And we start buying into our own press, right? And it feels good. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with posting something and letting others enjoy it. But it becomes a problem if that's something you crave, something you're doing it for that, right? So I just feel so alone. I feel unappreciated, invalidated, and put out there. Oh, see, I am something. Well, as quickly as you are something on social media, you are canceled by social media, and you can lose it as fast as you get it, right? See, craving approval is rooted in misplaced hope. It's rooted in misplaced hope. I can either rest in the confident hope of God's eternal approval on the merit of Jesus Christ, or I can seek the passing approval of the present world. So think about this. If I'm trying to please an audience here in this life, I am trying to please other people who have sinful tendencies, their thinking isn't right either. And so just because I'm getting a whole lot of approval and a whole lot of likes doesn't mean that it's good. As a matter of fact, it ought to concern us, right? I'm struggling with the same sin-marred appetites that they are. And I may just be feeding some appetite they have that is ungodly, that's unrighteous, that's not, at least not helpful, right? We're trusting others to give us love, approval, and acceptance. But that approval is as fickle as a 2-year-old's appetite. One day they love something, the next day they hate it with all their might, right? And you couldn't force it between their gums, and if you could pry them open. That's a big if, right? But whatever the audience demands, the approval junkie ultimately must deliver. The audience, if the audience is the one who dictates it, guess what they become? Lord and master. And if you don't deliver, they remove their approval and they move on. So who's your audience? Who are you living for? Does your audience affirm your natural sinful tendencies? Or do they encourage you towards what is good, pleasing, and right? And what are you willing to do? What am I willing to do to earn the follows, likes, shares, and comments and to keep them rolling in? I know that many of you were hoping today when Kester came up here to hopefully see the elders come up and do the latest TikTok dance, right? And throw that out there on social media. I mean, think about that. You laugh, but there's people of my age, right, out there doing TikTok dances in order to gain followers and approval. Now, is there anything wrong with a TikTok dance? No. But did you ever think you would go there? What else would you do in order to get a few likes, right? We will do stupid things. I mean, all you have to do is flip through that for a little bit and you realize there's some really dumb stuff that people are tempted to do. And I actually had accumulated a few and thought, that's not going to be helpful on a Sunday morning. We'll lose it. You know what I'm talking about. If you're out there in the social media world, you can see it. We thought about having Matt and Chris actually go out the back of the church out here and jump into a vat of like soft Wisconsin cheese, right? That would have been fantastic the day after. But since they lost, we can't do that. My day's coming. The Chiefs play tonight, okay? I'll not be in the office tomorrow morning. So the misplaced trust of idolatry of approval ultimately directs us down paths that ultimately lead us to ruin. And that's, I said there are consequences. There are consequences. Craving approval leads to ruin. Luke 6:26 says this, "Woe to you when all people speak well of you." There's several ways that we can see this. We see identity ruin. We seek approval so much that we'll set up a carefully crafted caricature of ourselves, revealing what we think will attract approval. Not who we really are, but what we think will attract approval. The very thing that we sometimes accuse politicians of. They promise something, set up a caricature of themselves, and in fact, you go, well, they didn't do any of that. That's because that was a caricature. It was what they just wanted you to believe. Now, our brother Mark Hall's not like that. He's just going to tell it like it is, man. But that can be a struggle for us. We do the same thing. And ultimately, what's going to happen when we keep giving and giving to that identity? Before long, we've lost our identity of who we really are in Christ. And that's going to really matter when we get to the fourth point here this morning. We see emotional ruin. The approval junkie can find themselves on a roller coaster of emotion as the tide of their audience approval ebbs and flows. Young person, if you're waiting for the approval of your peers as you put those pictures up, and you're letting that drive whether you're up or you're down, oh friend, that is a fickle, fickle audience. And you will suffer great pain as you depend on those things. Run. Flee youthful lust. Or you'll face that relational ruin. And your relationship, if it's based upon other people's approval, online or in person, if everything you do is somehow saying, well, how will I get the approval of this person? You're in a deadly, dangerous place. You need to grow in maturity as a believer and to grow in your character as a person and to live that righteously and godly in this present age to please God. And pray that the others around you are doing the same, that they're striving towards godliness. And then to enjoy together those affirm that godly character rather than just, okay, can I keep them happy? Can I please them? Some of you grew up in homes where you found that the only way that you could have peace in the home was somehow to appease someone and to get their approval. Friend, you may need help. You very well may need help in this because that may be a battle that is deep-seated in your heart. And friend, there's help to be found. We have counselors, you have other Christian friends around that would love to work through with you that dangerous precedent that was set way back as a child. But it is something that you can overcome. Just as anything else in life, you can see the hope of striving to live for the pleasure of the glory of God rather than just the people around you. And if you don't, it will bring ruin to your relationship. You'll lose reward. Man's approval is fleeting and empty. It is an appetite that, as we said, is never satisfied. Today's celebrity is tomorrow's canceled celebrity. The provers move on to the more beautiful, the more successful, the more recent fashion trend or viral phenomenon. And ultimately, sadly, we can be tempted to live in such a way to be seen and approved by men, and we lose, Jesus says, our ultimate reward. Jesus says in Matthew 6:1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. He goes on to say, do it in secret, and your heavenly Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Which reward are you living for? The one that is temporary and passing, or the one that is permanent and eternal in heaven? Whether it's a picture of you caring for the homeless, we got to think about those things. Say, oh man, I've done it. Okay. I've been there. We got to be careful. There can be different reasons for doing some of those things, but be careful. Is it to be seen? It's really, really quiet in here. On our mission trip, why are we doing the picture? It's one thing to send it back home and say, hey, this is our team. Pray for us. But let's be careful. Why do we have our coffee with our Bible? Why, is it good? Is there a way to encourage others through it? Of course there is. But if we have our Bible and the cup of coffee that we see on social media all the time, why in my heart am I doing it? That's the issue. It's not the picture. It's not the picture. It's the motivation behind it. And so as we do these things, we need to be evaluating, what is it? What is my hope in? We say, picture, it didn't happen. I think Jesus would differ with that, right? And so we need to be careful, again, as we think about this kind of approval junkie living. Why do you do what you do? It matters in relation to our eternal reward. Romans 2, 6-8 says, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek, and this is the key, seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. When we build our life by picking and choosing to say and do whatever we believe will bring the accolades and approval of other people, we quickly learn that not everybody agrees. Some will love it, others will despise it. Just look on social media and the divide that we see out there, right? Who will you seek to please? Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, the path of craving man's approval will pull you apart. That's the literal, what that literally says is a man with many friends will soon be pulled apart. Like ripped apart. Why? Because he's chasing all these different things. Because I need his approval, I need their approval, but they don't, aren't the same. So how would I do now? Right? Well, the path of craving man's approval brings ruin. In Christ, there is a friend whose love is unwavering in spite of how awkward, weird, unsuccessful, unglamorous, unfollowed, unshared, and uninteresting you may feel. You've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Are you living for him? Are we living for the pleasure of the world? Frankly, the church should be that place where awkward, weird people like me and you can come together and be real people, right? And work through our struggles and work through our pain and our hurts and the things that aren't so attractive. We can talk about, yeah, I've struggled with approval. We can talk about that. And we talk about how that is a struggle for me and for others like you. We can deal with that awkwardness, that struggle. And not have to say, oh, look at me, I've got it all together. We're perfect up here. No, we're not. No, you're not. You're here for the same reason as I am, and that is to look into the Word of God and to look into the mirror of God and to become doers of the Word. And in the doing, James says, to be blessed, right? That's where the joy is in the doing of God's glorious word. But there's another important consideration for the believer. Craving approval will ultimately stifle your gospel witness. Folks, that's our mission. We're to go and make disciples. Our mission is a gospel mission. And if you're an approval junkie, that mission will be stifled if you continue to pursue that avenue of approval. It's not a popular message. But we don't share the gospel to please people, because it's the power of the gospel that we're after. We share it because it is the power of God unto salvation. We want others to know the gospel and be saved, and we want to continue to proclaim the gospel that they might be sanctified, that they might grow up in Christ, right? If our lives scream, approve of me, look at me, approve of me, like me, follow me, then who are people going to look at? Who are people going to look to? If ultimately, for the approval junkie, think of this, they are our hope. If I'm looking for Jan's approval, then she's my hope, right? I've got to put my hope in her and that she'll come through for me. But if my hope is in Christ, then others around ought to see that. Then I go, you know what? That guy isn't after the stuff that most people are after in this world. He's after something different. And they give me a reason for that hope that's within you. Paul was no approval junkie, that's for sure. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 6, "For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether you or from others, though we could have made demands as the apostle of Christ." Paul could have, when he put himself out there and got, you know, some opposition, he could have retreated into some small church somewhere where he could have just lived as Big Paul in that little church and had an echo chamber just preaching to the choir all day long. But that's not what Paul did. In fact, he told the Galatians this in chapter 1, verse 10. "Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." Amen. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Again, we talked about some social media, but you know in your own heart, that's not the only place where this shows up. Who are you serving? Whose approval are you craving? Is it that guy at school? Is that boss at work that you just want their approval so that somehow that can play into your career or your future, your relationship? Who is it that you're trying to prove? If you seek that approval, you will stifle the gospel because you'll not be bold enough to speak the truth in love in a world that doesn't approve the gospel. It'll be stifled because your hope is misplaced, and they see your hope is no different than their hope, and why do they want to just trade your hope for theirs? But if our hope is in Christ, and we want them to know the glory of the hope in Christ, then we will be bold in not only living for the gospel, the hope of the gospel, but in proclaiming the gospel. So ask yourself, who is your audience? Who are you seeking to please with your life and with your words? Do you see yourself today walking down a foolish path? We all do at times. It's time to turn around. It's time to make a course correction. You need to listen to God's commands, to walk in the Word. If you don't have a regular diet of the Word, let His Word establish your identity, refocus your hope, and fix your mind upon what is pleasing to Him. So walk in the Word. Walk in the Word. But consider your companions. If your companions are all approval junkies, and that's all you're around, and it's all about that, then guess what? You're going to be affected by that. Walk with the wise. He who walks with wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm, Proverbs says. Let wise people speak into your life. That means you're going to have to be around wise people. You may have to take yourself out of a group that are living foolishly and put yourself into a group of boring old fuddy-duds who will actually speak the truth about the choices you're making. Young person, old person, doesn't matter. We can all be foolish, right? Find people who are walking in wisdom and follow their manner of life as they humbly seek to follow Jesus. And finally, continually make correction. This is not about a, hey, we had a sermon on approval today. I took care of that and I'll never deal with it again. No, this is about continual course correction, right? If you are navigating on sea or by land or by air, you're constantly making corrections in order that you can stay on target. And if my goal, my aim is to please the Lord God, then I will constantly have to be not looking to the right or the left, but to be looking unto Him who's the author and finisher of my faith. We need to walk away again and again. We need to confess and repent. We need to flee immature passions like craving man's approval. 2 Timothy 2:22 says it this way, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Those companions, that fleeing, run. Run from it. It may mean for some of us that we need to delete Instagram, that we need to get rid of Facebook. It won't kill you. I deleted Facebook 1 year ago in November. Yay for me, okay? I'm back on. I run the church, some of the church's social media stuff, and I'm back on there. I think I have 2 followers. Think Chris and Laura. Man, I feel so low. I'm not fine. You can do it. Let me tell you. Okay? It's worth it. It's worth it. And some of you are sitting there saying, I don't have social media. I never had it. I don't do the Facebook. I don't do the Twitter. Right? That's okay. Who are you struggling? What idolatry are you struggling with? Who are you trying to please? Second, and then finally in Titus 2:11-13, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Doesn't matter whether it's social media or not. Doesn't matter what the situation is in this present age. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are you living for? Who are you trying to please? That's the day worth living for. That's the one worth living for, where what is laid up for you will never spoil nor fade, and thief can't break in and cancel you. Our hope is in Him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank You, Lord. I needed this sermon that You preached to me through Your Word this week. And Lord, I pray that You would use it as Your Holy Spirit sees fit to use it today in the lives of Your people here in this place. And if there's anyone here whose life is wrapped up in the appetites of this world, they are still living according to the flesh. They've not been given a new heart, given life in Christ, because they've never come to Christ in repentance and faith. Lord, may You, even in this moment, lead them to repentance and faith, that they might know the joy of living for the One who has paid the entire debt, that they can have 100% approval of God and never wonder again whether they are loved in Christ. So, Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.